This morning I'm going to read from Luke. This is one of the resurrection appearances story. Is the story in which the walk to Emmaus, which is a spiritual formation retreat weekend that is put out through the Upper Room, is based on this story. How many of you are familiar with this story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus? Is this familiar to most of you? Okay. Today, what we're going to do with this story, and you know that I last summer taught some of about Lectio Divina, that when we read scripture, we read it the first time to listen for particular word phrases, things in the scripture that kind of capture us. The second time we listen, we consider what those words mean for us. And then the third time we allow the Spirit to move us to discern where we need to go with what we've learned through the scriptures. So we're going to do steps one and two today in worship. And the third step, I have written a guided meditation for you to take home and use and reflect on at home as well. Now that same day, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus. They were talking, it was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And Jesus said to them, 'How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' And they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' And then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this mother calls her little boy in from playing, and she asks him, to wash his hands before dinner. And he complains, well, Mom, they aren't even dirty. You know, my hands aren't even dirty. His mother tells him, well, there might be germs on your hands. You need to wash them. And he walked off exasperating, chanting, germs and Jesus, germs and Jesus. That's all I ever hear about, and I haven't ever seen a one. So these resurrection appearances are really quite wonderful stories about, do you all want to move down here since I'm going to be kind of talking from here? Want to come down and sit down here? Jared, you might want to sit down in with Darlene or whatever. Wonderful stories about the way that God was made real in bodily form and to the disciples as he rose as the risen Christ. Today I want to tie a couple of things together, so bear with me. Mother's Day is a day in which we can celebrate and talk about what it's like to move out into unknown territory, isn't it? I mean, it's a day when we are all, as you embark on that adventure of being a mother, or if you make a commitment to be nurturing to someone, you don't really know where that is going to lead you. But it is a journey that takes you and gives you an opportunity to recognize the source of all love, doesn't it? I have to say, from my experience as a mother, that truly the people that have reflected Christ to me most often in my life have been my kids. I mean, kids have an uncanny way of turning around and telling you the truth about yourself, don't they? They see everything. They do not miss a beat. And I am so fully appreciative of how my kids have reflected that love and that grace and that truth in my life. And so we're here today to kind of look again as a congregation at how this love works in our life and how we recognize it. Who are the people that God places in our path to help us see the truth and to receive God's grace? The other piece I want to tie in this morning is from this art experience that we had here last weekend. Not only do I love working in the creative arts, not only do I love working with visual expressions of our faith and love considering the ways that Christ is made visible in my life and in the life of the church, but also I am totally aware that as a church body, there are very few times that we risk everything to move into unknown territory. And last weekend, truly, there were risks taken and vulnerability shared around the table as people contributed their different ideas and images to the artwork that we did. And that is what faith is all about. Faith is about not knowing the future and extending only love anyway. Faith is not knowing the future and extending only love anyway. So this story about these disciples who are fleeing Jerusalem, they are going as far away from Jerusalem as they can. They don't know the future. They are so confused by what has happened in Jerusalem. And in fact, they're leaving Jerusalem and going so far. They were going 7 miles away. Going 7 miles away means that the disciples who were there were already breaking apart. They were the group was already scattering. Some were going here and some were going there. They were not holding together in believing the possibilities of what Jesus had taught and promised them. So they are breaking apart. They're failing to trust in that promise and in the possibility. So this morning, I want to invite each of you to take a few moments to consider that you are one of those disciples walking away from Jerusalem, that you are on the road to Emmaus. And I'm going to guide you using a guided meditation. I will read some of the scripture. I'll make a few invitational comments, and then there will be a few moments of silence. You'll hear some light music playing in the background where you can reflect on what you are hearing and discern where you fit in that scripture. So imagine yourself in this conversation and take some time to reflect on your own understanding of the resurrection. I'm going to invite you to feel free to write some of your thoughts down as you go. There's probably some room on the bulletin somewhere. But again, as you leave service today, you will receive these words in print with space for you to fill in and write down. So right, for right now, it's just important that you listen and invite your heart into this time together. So sit back. Take a couple of breaths, shake off all that you've been thinking about so far this day. Breathe in slowly. And as you breathe in, you're breathing in the Spirit of God that is all around us. And as you breathe out, you're breathing the love and the mercy of Christ into our air. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. Take some time to get into this story a little bit further and imagine that you are walking. 7-mile walk, long enough to enjoy the rhythm of breathing and moving. Perhaps nothing is going the way you thought it would, both in the world and in your own life. Perhaps there are things happening that don't seem to make any sense. Is there something in your life that you are walking away from? Something that is disappointing to you? Something you do not understand? One foot in front of the other, breathing in and breathing out. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. There is something about the way that Christ confronts us that is hard to recognize and often unexpected. The ancients practiced the art of pilgrimage, the practice of leaving home for the sake of meeting Christ, for taking little with you so that wherever you went, you could share in life with whoever you met along the way, sharing in food and drink and a place to rest, all that shared in common. In a sense, we can do that each and every day, wherever we find ourselves in the course of a day, at the metro station, the grocery store or doctor's office, in our driveway. We can open ourselves to encounter the risen Christ. Like Cleopas and his friend who are making the journey to Emmaus together, God will not work in isolation, but in and through shared experiences. So imagine Jesus entering into your journey with this friend. Who is the friend that is walking with you right now? Perhaps it's someone in your family, someone you work with, or a friend who knows you well. How is God present to you as you share your questions? And Jesus asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. Imagine that Jesus is asking you, "What are you talking about right now with others? What are the concerns that occupy your heart?" How would you answer? One of them, named Cleopas, asked Jesus, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" Jerusalem was not only a geographic location. Jerusalem was and is still a spiritual center. God's mighty acts in Jesus Christ happened within the walls of Jerusalem. Imagine being in the close circle of Jesus' friends who had witnessed his miracles, who had fed thousands in the crowds. Imagine having been one of those who was healed by Jesus, only later to learn of his death. Imagine being one of those like Simon or Veronica, Simon who stopped to help him carry the cross, and Veronica who wiped his brow during Jesus' day of deepest need. What has been happening in your Jerusalem? What has been happening in the center of your spiritual heart? "What things," Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place." The ancients believed that the Messiah would come as a military ruler, that power would be given to the nation of Israel. Jesus was not what they had expected. He proclaimed peace and love and mercy rather than heavy-handed rule. His grace was the fulfillment of the law. The world seems to hand out deep disappointments that don't seem to offer any new possibilities. Is there anyone who you can share your hopes and dreams with? Is God's redeeming love hard for you to understand? Is it coming to you in a way that you would not expect? How is love being revealed for you? In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. The eyewitness accounts of the women at the empty tomb were all the disciples had to try to understand what was happening. We too only have these eyewitness accounts from these same women. No Washington Post or New York Times, no internet, no Facebook, no cell phone pictures were taken. But the facts were simple. The tomb was empty, and there was no sign of Jesus' body anywhere. The women described seeing angels telling them that Jesus was alive, but not one person actually saw the resurrection take place. Perhaps you acknowledge that a kind of death has happened in your Jerusalem, in your spiritual center, in the heart of your own life, or in someone close to you. Take a few moments to acknowledge the resurrection of Christ and consider what that means for your current situation. Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. You know, it would have been hard to be one of the ancient disciples. The temple priests and temple officials, along with all the government magistrates, were not sympathetic to the experience of the disciples. The teachings of Jesus and the actions of Jesus were controversial. He aligned himself not with those in power, but with those who were powerless. Being a disciple was a dangerous thing, and there were many who did not understand or place any value on Jesus' life or his death or resurrection. Do you ever feel like you don't really get it? That it seems like there is too little evidence of the resurrection in our world? How are you slow to believe? When scriptures are read, do you hear the risen Christ? How are the scriptures being opened for you? Time spent in study with others or in worship? What conversations are you having that are revealing some truth for you? As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. The Passover meal that Jesus shared with the disciples in the upper room on Thursday before the crucifixion was a meal that was deep with meaning, and it shared in the gravity of all that was about to take place. But the breaking of the bread on the road to Emmaus is a moment of clarity and recognition of the risen Christ, and it changes all of our celebrations of the Lord's Supper, turns our celebrations of the Lord's Supper into Easter joy. The words companion and company are both household words. They're common words that we use, and their Latin roots mean simply those who share bread. There is a vulnerability exposed in eating with others. Sharing in the most basic of human needs invites us to an open acceptance at the table. In addition to the physical meal, love is shared at tables, right? We gather around our tables and there is love and understanding. So in the very essence of breaking bread, even at the family table, there is a sacramental quality to all that is exchanged. So while the sacrament of the Lord's Supper in our church family is rich in its ability to nurture and sustain our faith through the mystery of the presence of the risen Christ in the Lord's Supper, we do well to acknowledge the presence of Christ at our tables, in our homes, enriching us in love and mercy as well. Where are the places that you are most aware of God's nurturing and sustaining presence in your life? And what are the things that help you recognize Him? Have you participated in a meal that seemed truly holy? Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him, and He disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? And they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together. When Jesus comes into our view, we recognize Christ. And it happens in fleeting. It happens once, or it may happen many times over and over again. But it is always a gift when we recognize Christ. The disciples ask, were not our hearts strangely warmed? How would you describe those moments when God has been made real to you? The disciples were saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. And then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when He broke the bread. So the disciples return to Jerusalem. They return to the center of worship and fellowship, and their witness extends strength to the faith of the whole community. Imagine their joy. People who have a common memory share more deeply. And so it was for the disciples, as it is for us today. How do we strengthen one another in our daily lives? And how does our experience of God strengthen the lives of those around us? So the resurrection appearances of Christ were more than just a vision. They were moments that were filled with a bodily recognition. He was talking with them and eating with them. The risen Christ still continues to make His presence known to us in fleeting ways, ways that we cannot hang on to. Each experience of God that we have may be totally different than the one before, and we need to be open to that. We need to stop expecting for God to keep showing up in the same ways, that God will continue to offer himself in different ways to us. The risen Christ was revealed first to Mary, right? There was one. And then there were two on the road to Emmaus. And later there was a gathered group in the upper room. And finally the risen Christ appeared to many. And so it is for us, the church. One or two of us may experience the risen Christ. And as we share that, Christ appears to many. As we walk together in faith, may we be even more aware of the ways that Jesus comes to us. I pray that our collective faith will be strong as each of us walks more closely with God.